I want to begin a message this evening, and I want to focus on two special stages that I believe are key factors to kingdom prosperity. I believe that are very important, prominent keys, positional keys that position the church into the right place to receive kingdom prosperity. I believe that we need to be walking in the Spirit if we're ever going to be positioned to receive kingdom prosperity. This is just not a message to the church, it's a message to the individual as well as to the corporate affiliates of the body of Christ. I believe we need to look at key factors such as the first factor, talking. Your words determine the course of your life. Let me just say that again. Your words determine the course of your life. If you are not saying anything, you are not creating anything. If you are not saying anything, you are not creating anything. Create your world by confessing God's word. And if you believe in something, you will speak it out aloud. So many people, they say, well, I thought this and I thought that. Well, what did you do by actually professing it? Because when you speak it out aloud, then you are committing the commissionable act of creation. God's word was the responsible ingredient, the essence of the word, the DNA of God's power within the word goes forth to create. When God said, it was done. Therefore, if God has given me the same power through the word to create, then that which I speak, I should believe has the inherent power of God to bring forth that which I have committed my word to create. I can either speak words of life, or I could speak words of death. Confession will confirm what you say you believe in your heart. You see, the problem with many churches today and many Christian believers is that they say one thing with their mouth, but they don't believe it with their heart. They say one thing in their heart, but they say another thing with their mouth. And so there is a reversal or a reversible trend where we sometimes overlap or intrude or allow the word or our belief or our thoughts to interfere or interpose upon what we want our words to create. Words and faith are synonymous. And confession will confirm what you say you believe in your heart and release the faith for what you believe to come to pass in your life. You have to have the faith ingredient, the faith connection with the word in order to bring it to pass. So talking is the next action in kingdom prosperity. Salvation, wholeness, healing is available. However, you must speak. So many times we have a need in our lives, but we don't speak the word forth. We don't have the ability or know inherently what it is that we must speak. Confessions will confirm what you believe. And I believe that when you confess, it's what you believe. If you believe, then what you will confess will state your belief. So God has given us a body, a mouth, to speak kingdom prosperity. I believe that our mouth and our talking and our vocabulary, our dialogue, sets the stage for God or for the devil. God said in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, don't stop speaking the word of God. Keep it in the midst of your heart, in your mouth, in your mind, so that you think the word, you speak the word. And so your mouth literally gives expression to the things in the realm of the spirit. The spirit realm is not controlled by manipulative forces. The spirit realm is not controlled by just a pattern of thought, but by the patterned speech that God has given us as gifts to speak the language of the Holy Spirit. And so what we see is while the spirit realm is controlled or is controlled by the word of God, so it is that we should see our natural realm controlled by the word of God. If we don't see our natural realm impacted by God's word, then the force that is in the world is far greater than the word of God, which I know to be incorrect. It should be God's power. God's word is a more powerful force in opposition against the force of the world, which would want to detract from the word of God and bring about its own edicts and decrees into our lives to literally create the standard by which we live. We should be living like kingdom prosperous citizens. And yet we come with our hidden concealed dirt and stains of guilt and shame and sin. We should be coming into the kingdom, into the king's court, literally dressed like a king. You see, your belief starts with a thought. And if you meditate on the thought long enough, it becomes a statement of belief, a statement of faith. You reflect what you believe in. You are a reflection of what you believe in. When I look around here, I see exactly, I can tell exactly what you believe in. Your words will literally unclothe you. Out of the issues of the heart, by having a general conversation with you, I can tell exactly where you're at. And sometimes we try very, very hard to try and conceal and keep from each other the real hidden you. The spirit realm is the parent realm. That's where we come from. You see, we don't live on the earth. We don't belong to the earth. We belong to the parent realm, which is the spirit realm. Therefore, I shall be existing in the spirit realm according to the devised plan of God and his standards and his decrees. Therefore, if I'm going to impact my natural realm, then I have to bring from the spirit realm what it is that I must use to bring about change in my life. Instead of borrowing from the world, instead of being a lender and a borrower, I should be taking what God has given me and made available through the spirit realm and bring it into this natural realm. So I should be operating in the parent realm and not in the natural realm. I should be operating in God. Amen. Everything that you have seen on this earth in the natural realm has come from the parent realm, which is the spirit realm, which is God's realm. Everything you see was created from what God spoke. So therefore, whatever is spoken has creative power. The word of God has creative power. So we've got to focus on what you've been speaking. If you're not seeing manifestation in your life, you've got to focus on what you've been speaking. What have I been saying that has brought about the state of poverty in my life? Why is my children struggling to come to terms with their schoolwork? Perhaps I've been saying they're useless and they'll never make it. You're no good. You'll never make it in life, mate. You're hopeless. You'll never amount to anything. Well, no, they won't, because you just said it. You believe it, they'll receive it. You see, we've got to start to acknowledge that some of the things we're saying over our own lives are what are responsible for what we're going through and suffering from. Oh, I feel sick. Oh, yes, you will. Because that's exactly what you stated. You see, we should be living in spiritual harmony in one accord in the unity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We should be in so much harmony with God that our bodies literally will never fail us through sickness and infirmity and disease. We should be living in such a state of the atmosphere of faith that nothing can beat the system. You know, negativity will always try to counteract what God tried to manufacture through His Spirit. If we if we induce power simply by faith, then faith will be the ingredient which will stimulate prosperity into our lives. If we say negativity, then that reverses the operations of faith and we don't have the power to bring forth the manifestation, for faith to bring forth the manifestation. You know, if you've got a disease and the doctor's given you a bad prognosis, are you going to believe in the prognosis or in the word of God that says you're healed? And I know sometimes we can flog a dead horse to death, literally. But I believe that the creative power of God is the power of life, the power of liberty, that brings liberty to those who accept it and believe it. Do you know that the words that God, that you have spoken, God is waiting to perform on your behalf based on what He hears you speak? God is waiting to hear you speak. And so we look into James, and we see in James how that our tongue sets the course for our life. So I would advise that we don't speak anything that will throw you off of God's course. Don't say anything that will literally destroy your destiny. You are the prophet over your own life. I believe that what we do is if we've spoken words that are contrary to God or to His operations, then we should quickly repent and make that a necessary adjustment and get back on course. The problem is that we just override it. We just literally brush it aside and say, oh, well, God understands. No, we've got to speak it. He's made us to be vocal human beings. We've got to speak. We've got to communicate. We've got to literally speak the truth. That's what God says, despite the facts and the circumstances. We've got to speak the truth. You know, the truth determines your destination, and so does error. So does speaking negativity. Don't be afraid to speak what His Word says in private and in public. So many Christians, they have no trouble speaking about God's word behind closed doors. But when it comes to be making His word public or speaking in public, they literally, for want of a better word, clam shut. They don't want to speak the word. When it comes to public ministry, when you've got an opportunity, how many times do we avail ourselves of the opportunity God gives us when we knowingly have wanted to talk about it, but because of our own inhibitions, we've just clammed shut and we haven't said a word? I used to know, I heard of somebody in a supermarket, and you know what, he was a rock guitarist. In fact, he was in a heavy metal rock band, and he got radically saved in a toilet. Yes, you heard me right. He went into the loo, and he saw a screen. On the screen was a Billy Graham crusade. And while he was standing there, the appeal was given. And this man says, if you haven't repented, you're going to hell. Well, I tell you what, that was one toilet visit that he never forgot about. We can make all kind of jokes, couldn't we? But he got radically saved. And this man became a powerful evangelist in the United States. And he was speaking a year or two ago about how he used to go into the supermarket, and he would just walk in through the supermarket and he would just shout out, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, it's a good day today." While he's getting the vegetables, "Oh Lord, you're so good today, praise your holy name. Oh yeah, 59 cents I could do with that, praise the Lord. Oh, I like those corn cobs. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, I love your vegetables, Lord. Hallelujah." Sounds a little bit extreme, doesn't it? Bring it on. Hallelujah. And he says, well, he said, I shouted for the devil long enough in my life. Now he says, I've got something, some reason to shout about, and it's about God. He says, I spent half of my life, most of my life, shouting out and serving the devil through words. And now he says, I'm shouting out for God, and nothing's going to change. We could shout out about the devil. We can curse and profane and serve the devil and give him the glory through saying all words that don't have a dictionary meaning. We can shout all the slang and all the colloquial blasphemies. But when it comes to speaking about God and piousness and holiness and righteousness, we button up. It's like our mouth is zipped shut. What are we so afraid of? Are you so ashamed of God and the gospel that you would remain silent? And yet, when you were living in the world and you were a heathen, you literally had no trouble swearing and blaspheming and cursing God's name and using him in a blasphemous way. I remember watching a Brownsville Pensacola revival on the television when I wasn't a Christian. And I just loved to roast Christians. And I remember watching this. And they were showing us, oh, the Brownsville Pensacola revival, a new move, a new sweeping of this so-called Holy Spirit. And it was on a 60-minute expose. And I said to the person I was with, hey, come and get a look at this load of tripe. Got a look at this. Look at them. Holy rollers, they've got jitters, they look like they've got bugs in their trousers. You know, no, no, no. I ridiculed them. I was one of them. They would literally just curse Christians. Hated God. 21 years in a wilderness. And now, if somebody had said to me back then that I would be standing here today with bugs in my trousers, I would have laughed. I would have laughed because I would have said you are out of your mind. The very thing that I despised and didn't want a part of is the very thing and very thing that I'm a part of today. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. And so I had no trouble speaking for the devil, and now I'm having no trouble speaking for God. You can do the same thing. Don't be afraid to speak what his word says in private and public. Share, express, propagate, reproduce. Reproduce. Your anointing will be reproduced again and over again, multiplied and layered again and again and again, till there's an abundance. Multi-layered anointings. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd rather come stoop-shouldered with anointings in the house of God than with bondage. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know that God's committed to his word. He's bonded to his word. I don't see that kind of commitment and bondedness in Christian journeys and Christian lives. I think we interchange the word and we try to change the word to suit our and serve our own ulterior purposes. When it doesn't suit our purposes, we change it. I think we've got to get back to the covenanted rule that God's bonded to his word, so should we. We've got to be bonded to our word. If you say something, you know, how many times have you said, oh, I'll pray for your sister, and you don't? Will you pray for me? Oh, yeah, I will, and then you forget about it. How many times have you let that go by? Well, God hasn't forgotten. We've got to be, in other words, we've got to be people of the Word. If we are seen to be changing our position in the Word, then how can the world look upon us as being trustworthy and reliable? Talk and act in line with prosperity. You know, God weighs what you speak and do. You know, speech and action weigh the same. You see, we talk about in Proverbs 12, verse 14, the word, the fruit of his mouth, the fruit of your mouth produces prosperity or poverty. You can't talk prosperity you can't talk prosperity unless you talk about it. When you talk about it, when you talk prosperity, you can have it. Until you talk prosperity, you can't have it. So we shall be talking prosperity. Yes, there is not enough fruit on my table, but I know that God supplies all my needs. I'm believing to receive. I heard of a story one day of a woman who set the table. She was so poor back in the Depression years in the 1930s. She was so poor, she laid a table. And the little children came up to their mother and said, "Mum, what are you laying the table for? We don't have anything to eat." She says, "Oh, yes, we do. God will supply our needs." This is a true story. The children didn't really believe. This woman was a great, powerful woman of faith, a Salvation Army woman. And she says, very soon, she says, "The Lord will supply our needs." She says, "Now sit at the table, children." And there they were, sitting before empty plates, until there was a knock at the door. And there was a man and a woman that just arrived in the neighborhood, powerful Christians in their own right, said, "We were in prayer and the Lord has requested that we bring you tea tonight." She says, "Oh, come on in." She says, "I was expecting you." You see?
Amen.
She just took faith by the collar and roped it in. How much faith do you possess to believe for that? Do you believe the ravens can feed you? Or have you been literally nurtured by your Cherith book, but times have been lean? The ravens haven't been coming? Maybe you need to start professing some word over your situation, over your life. "This is my lean season, Lord. I'm coming into the open gates of famine. Lord, I need a raven. I need a raven to feed me by the river, by the brook." You know, once you speak the word, don't expect to remain where you are. Don't expect to remain where you are. You see, prosperity is your ticket of faith. Prosperity is your ticket of faith, and faith is expressed by what you say and what you do. Your mouth is a master key, and speaking the word is part of the process of bringing you in line with prosperity. You know, the problem that we get as Christians is we speak the word believing to receive, but we imbalance it by fear. Oh, what happens if it doesn't happen? What happens if I've said it and then I'm going to look a right idiot, really, if it doesn't happen? They're going to think I'm a fool. Oh, God's going to supply my needs, but I don't really believe it. It's just like the preacher that prays for a person to be healed. And they're saying, "Well, all the faith can muster be healed in the name of Jesus." And they're saying, "I hope this works." That's fear. Fear doesn't yield up anything. Faith yields up the fullness of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Fear-based confessions won't bring the results you desire. They'll bring what you fear the most. Don't speak words that are not in line with God's word. That is fear words. That's fear prefacing your statements. You see, we always like to have a backup, don't we? You know, we always like to have a backup. You know, if the word fails, we've got an excuse to balance it out, right? This will get me out of it. If the word doesn't work, well, I can always go back to that. See, that's the situation. That's fear. That is absolute fear. Fear won't bring you any joy. Faith will bring you joy. You know, I think that the risk being too is that we can overstep faith and become hyper-faith people. And we can say, oh, I have the faith to believe God's going to do this well. What about doing something in the natural to bring it to pass as well? I remember hearing about a man that was over in the States, and he was a faith, word of faith man. And I think he got a little imbalanced because here he was dancing around like a long lost Indian from the tribe or whatever, dancing around his bike, commanding his bike to be turned into a Rolls Royce. The problem being is that this neighbour who was ridiculing him was watching him over the fence, giving him, and then he was giving him ammunition to literally throw at him, saying, look at these stupid Christians. These word of faith Christians. You see, fear demonstrated will never equate to equality and never equate to prosperity. We've got to be very careful how we approach faith, because your faith could be masquerading as fear and you don't even know it. Don't go looking for an excuse to get yourself out of the situation simply if the word doesn't work for you, because maybe you've been saying something that has nullified the word. Fear can speak. Fear can act just as much as faith. In other words, fear is the reverse of faith, both in action and demonstration. Think about it. Speak your faith. Fill your heart with faith. Good things come from the fruit of our mouth, Proverbs 12 verse 14. And there's a certain things you should never say. Negative words breed negativity. Examine your words, censure your words, because words can carry your destiny onward, or it can carry it through to the accomplishment of evil. Amen. And lastly, bringing this down to a close now, we've got to start through our words to live the life of faith. Your flesh is in constant conflict with the born-again spirit. And your mind is a battleground. And when you recognize that there's a war for your thought life and the purpose to align your thinking to the word, then you'll always know that it is the enemy that's trying to bring you out of the word focus and into alignment with carnality and the world. Stay in that march of victory. Stay so secure and so bonded to faith that nothing's ever going to shift you from your resolve. Nothing's going to shift you away from the word of God. You've got to start to speak that word, because everything you see comes from the spirit world and from the elements of faith. Amen? Amen. You know, Joshua, God gave him the keys to leadership. He said, speak the word. That's the key to leadership. He was an effective communicator. But we've also got to isolate one other thing before we bring this down to a close, and that is words are communicated by the tongue. Not the mouth, the tongue. It's a deadly tool used by the evil, and it's a perfect tool if it's used for good. Watch your tongue. Because your tongue is independent and only communicates what you want to express from the issues that you have residing in your heart. You know, sometimes we can be two kinds of people. We can actually be, literally, I wouldn't use this in any great analogy, but we could have dual personalities in the spirit. We can be somebody out there and yet we can be somebody else in here. You know, we can present an entirely different image to the world out there, but when we come in here, we're all rosy and all smiley. We've literally got sugar-coated pockets and, you know, I mean, we're dripping syrup off of our coattails. Oh, I'm so godly. I'm so spiritual. Look how I glide into church, you know. As if I just came from heaven. And yet out there I'm rough as... No? Can you understand what I'm talking about? The world sees you, and what they perceive from you is what they're going to receive from you, and that is whether you're a Christian or not. And if you're not a Christian, you've just given them the ammunition to actually bombast you with all kind of criticism, because it's what they see that creates what they believe. You can't save a world simply by misrepresenting yourself. You are who you are. Don't pretend to be anything else that you're not. Because very soon people are going to see through you. Very soon. You know? Let me tell you something. The world is watching. And when I was just a new Christian, back in 1997, I had a part-time job. And I was working for a food industry where I was actually taking food around. For 4 hours each day, I would take food around to different industries. And one particular client that I had was a client in Hornby. And they just loved to revile and ridicule me. They thought I was on the Holy Ghost bandwagon. They just really didn't like me at all. And so they did everything in their power to try and taint and pervert my mind with all kinds of pornographic images on their little wee books and their little wee computer screens and, you know, everything like that. Well, I just set my cakes and my biscuits right down on the centerfold. There you are, you guys. Have a look at what I got. You know? And one day, I dutifully went to my job and I pulled up and I topped my cakes and I went in there and they're literally having a bit of a laugh and they're, oh, hush, 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 here he comes. So I walked in there and said, "G'day guys, how you going? Anyone going to buy anything today?" And they says, "Oh, we like you're a Christian, aren't you?" I says, "Yeah, I am." He says, "Some new one too, aren't you?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "Boy," he says, "I like your Christianity, mate." I says, "Do you?" I thought, here's a good opportunity. Here's a golden opportunity. And he says, "Boy," he says, "I like your Christianity. Wouldn't mind a bit of that." I says, "Oh," I says, "well, that's good." I says, "Come along to church next time." Oh, he says, no. He says, I'm not talking about church. He says, "I saw your car." He says, "I saw where you parked." Well, apparently I had parked in town and I couldn't get a parking place right in front of the church where I was attending for an intercessors meeting, so I parked it further down the road. And this man had obviously come past, saw my car, noted my car and says, "Oh," he says, "I like your Christianity, mate. Wouldn't mind coming there. Wouldn't mind a bit of that." I had parked in front of the Pink Pussycat Club. The world is watching. Be careful where you park your cars. God's entrusted us to become good stewards of anointed word. You know, there's power hidden in the wealth of the word. Wisdom wealth. Wealth comes from understanding. When we understand the purposes for which God wants the word to be brought into existence for, to create a new destiny and a new world, a new nation, a new generation, then we increase the wealth of the knowledge on the inside of us and we become more wealthier because of the wellsprings of the word in our lives. Amen? We've got to alter our pattern of thought so that we hold every thought in line with what the word of God says. And that means we've got to intercept the word the moment that the word contravenes or comes into conflict with what the word of God says. Don't meditate on the word that is contrary to what God's word says. Because the moment you do is the moment that you establish it in the spirit. And once it's established, it's literally the seed that forms and builds the strongholds over your life. Amen. So watch your pattern of thoughts. Because he says in 3 John 3, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. Amen. Give him a mighty hand clap of praise. Whoa. God is good. Amen.